Okay. From KCRW, I'm Justin Simeon, and don't at me, but this is low-key the best podcast of all time. I'm here with esteemed guests, Misha Green and Lena Waithe. How you guys doing?
Hey, hey.
We're good.
Guys, it's super nice to meet you.
Yeah.
I've met you both several times, but yeah. It's nice to meet you in front of an audience of, I don't know, a dozen, thousand, I don't know who's listening, but I hope you are.
Everyone.
But Lena, let's get into, a lot of people met you when you won an Emmy, MBD, became the first Black woman ever to win an Emmy for comedy writing for Master of None, and you gave an impassioned speech to the LGBTQIA audience and let them know that they were seen by you. That was your start.
My LGBTQIA family, I see each and every one of you. The things that make us different, those are our superpowers. Every day when you walk out the door, put on your imaginary cape and go out there and conquer the world, because the world would not be as beautiful as it is if we weren't in it. And for everybody out there that showed us so much love for this episode, thank you for embracing a little Indian boy from South Carolina and a little queer Black girl from the south side of Chicago. We appreciate it more than you could ever know.
I would like to introduce my dear listeners to Misha Green, who is a co-creator of Underground, is also creating a fantastic, I already know it. I haven't seen it yet, but I know it's going to be fantastic.
It will be.
Adaptation of Lovecraft, the bestseller, for HBO. Mm-hmm. And you're also working on Clean Pantheon's, the feature film?
Yeah, that's what I thought you were about to say.
Yeah. Misha, hello.
Hi. What are we doing here?
Wow. Okay. So this is Don't At Me. This is a show about unpopular opinions. You know, how on Twitter you're like, don't at me, but, and then you say something real crazy. But we often have like a knee-jerk reaction to things that are new, when if we just took a breath, we might like it. We might be into it. So this show is that breath. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to be talking about unpopular opinions, stuff that's pissing you off, whatever. But let's talk about the old generation versus new. And I don't want to use, I don't like the word old, like the previous, you know, we're standing, you know, we, the three of us are lucky enough to be, you know, young folks working in Hollywood. We've all had like our first television shows at an age that frankly, most people don't get an opportunity to do your first television show at our age. But we are standing on the shoulders of a generation that came before us. But that generation does have different values than we have, which I think might surprise some people listening because, you know, even Black folks think that all Black folks kind of hang out and know each other and whatever. So, you know, one of the things that we talked about, the idea that there can only be one. And it strikes me as interesting because whether we're talking about staying in the closet or we're talking about the way you wear your hair or, you know, should we be collaborative or should we be sort of only about ourselves, whatever it might be, it feels like that has something to do with how we're being perceived by the mainstream population, i.e. white people, you know, and I'm just curious what your thoughts on that. Like, do you feel like that's what it's about? Why there's all of this protectiveness in, say, the quote unquote previous generation about these things?
Maybe. I mean, I don't know. I think when it comes to this topic in particular, I think sometimes there's more fear about the Black audience turning, you know, turning away. Speaking from my particular vantage point, white people really do like me a lot, almost. I feel like even, it's interesting, I feel the love from Black people, particularly the queer Black community, but there's still a lot of Black folks that are still discovering me, too, just because of the stuff that I've been in and been a part of. The Shy really kind of helped with that. So, but I think, ultimately, I think that's the biggest fear, is the Black audience.
That's
I think that's who I think they're most nervous about, because I think it's sort of like the familial vibe of it all.
Now, Misha, you know, you've not had the benefit of being a lesbian as well as, I know, I'm so sorry. Oh, she looks sad.
I do. I'm very sad by that.
But I feel like you understand the cookout mentality. And for people who don't know, the cookout is like, you know, it's the way Black people talk about like what's accepted and not accepted currently in Black culture en masse. So, you know, when I introduce Lena, my thing is like, you know, I definitely felt growing up that like gay folks can come to the cookout, but you can't, you got to watch the way you walk. You can't talk about, you know, Tyrone is not your best friend. That's actually somebody. You can't really talk about your life, but you can come to the cookout. So as a person who is familiar with the cookout, like what was your impression? Like what were you feeling when you heard that?
I was feeling the same. You know, it's that thing of I love what you said, because it's exactly that mentality of, again, no shade, but it's like the older generation in that room, their point of view is, no, that's your business, don't put it out there. And I think as artists, we are here to be living loudly. And I think seeing people who are women of color, people of color, living loudly is a rebellious thing, and it shouldn't be rebellious at this point. It shouldn't be new for that to be going on. Like, the fact that Frank Ocean is the first person to do that is revolutionary, you know? And if he's getting props for that and attention for that, it's like, that's good, because more people get to see that. And so that's my thing about the cookout. I've always been the one that's there, and everybody's like, Misha, what you doing? This is not what we do right now. And I'm like, I guess it is now. Cause
what are the sort of things you're doing at the cookout that we're not supposed to do? You eating turkey burgers? What's happening?
I don't eat turkey burgers. Nah, I got to get some real meat. No, you know, I think just not doing it the way that everybody does it.
Yeah.
You know, I think that very much in Hollywood, it's a very homogenous way of thinking. And for me, I'm just like, this doesn't make sense. I don't know why I would do it that way. And I think storytelling wise, that is a big thing for me, to be like, we've seen it a million times that way. How do we now platform off that into something new and get new voices out there?
It feels like it starts with assimilation. Like, we have to sort of take on these American values in order to be accepted. And it sometimes feels like, you know, we like sort of get to certain cultural phases later. Mm-hmm. You know, this idea that like Spielberg and Scorsese and De Palma and all these guys, Lucas, like, they hung out and they shared their work and they sent drafts and they, you know, famously sort of talked about Star Wars, and everyone hated it but Spielberg. But we as a generation of Black artists sometimes struggle to do that.
Yeah. And I'm, you know, I think it's hard to, because the previous generation, it's like, right now, I'm like, I know how hard it is. Mm-hmm. I'm like, anybody that gets a show on the air that's half decent and not a story that's been told a million times, I'm like, congratulations, you win all the awards. If it sucks, even more, because I know how hard it is to do. So I can only imagine what it was like without the previous generation having put in the work they put in. So it's like, when it's not that vibe, it's not a vibe that we have, I go, it's hard for me to want to step on that vibe, but at the same time, I'm like, I got to breathe over here.
Yeah.
This is what I want to do. And I feel like it's a weird thing of like getting slightly punished. It's like, you open these doors for us, and now we're walking through them, and now we got to push the next doors for the next people behind us. And it's a little bit, sometimes you come up against a door that's held by someone who looks like you, and you're like, what's happening right now?
That's so true. Did you?
This is what you wanted for me.
That's really interesting, because you know, I happen to work with someone from the quote unquote previous generation. You know, Yvette Lee Bowser is the showrunner of Dear White People, and also happens to be one of the most collaborative people that I know. And you know, it was such a pleasant surprise to not only meet her, but be like, oh my God, you're open and you like are supportive and all these things. Mm-hmm. But certainly I got to grow up watching Living Single. Like, she didn't get to grow up watching Living Single.
Right.
And so I already am coming into the world knowing that there are things I can do, because I got to see, not necessarily myself in that show, but like, I'm not going to throw that shade.
Did see myself. I just got my Maxine braids.
We'll
out.
See. I didn't get to see an openly gay Black man in the show. But I did get to see.
I may have saw myself too, but I don't know.
Huh. Okay. Shade omitted. So the point is that we got a taste. So we're kind of, we are on their shoulders. We are like getting the benefits. But you're right, there's sort of a different mindset just because of where they came from. Was there anybody that privately was like, yo, maybe you shouldn't speak so much and so openly about you and your experiences? Like, did anybody like pull you aside and say that?
No. No. But also too, I just sort of not built that way. Mm-hmm. Like, but then I say that and there's some people that somebody might go, but this person's obviously like a lesbian. This person's obviously gay. They're still hiding. So I don't, but I think to me it would almost feel and look foolish. Mm. But there are people who are, I think, gay males who are effeminate, who you can see them like trying to mask it. And I see there's some a little bit more on the masculine side, African American women who are trying to, you see them in a dress and makeup, and
Butch.
It feels.
You're talking about Butch.
Not Butch Queen, but you know, all right, Butch Queen. but you know what I'm saying? You see the uncomfortability.
Yeah.
So it seems alien to me. Mm-hmm. Obviously not to them, but I just don't have it in me to do that.
To hide.
Yeah, but also too, there's another element where and I don't mean to sound too much of a purist, but I believe that when you make something and you stand back from it, you see a reflection of yourself, whether you like it or not. You know what I mean? There's a reason why, like, I just instinctively don't write fathers into a lot of my work. You know what I mean? Or I write father figures, because that's what I have. I mean, and somebody can look at that and go, oh, well, I don't know if that's on purpose. I'm like, none of it is on purpose. Like, it's something that comes out of my body and my spirit.
Right.
So whatever I'm doing, a part of me is going to come out. And so I think there's an element of people where even you look at somebody like Prince, who I don't believe identified as queer, but was someone who was very.
But his gender expression was not cis male. Like,
no,
it wasn't like.
Not at all. Yeah. But I think the reason why his art was so palpable and still will really stand the test of time is because he didn't try to be something he wasn't, because it would have affected the art. So I just kind of feel like when we aren't honest about who we are, I think the art suffers.
Speaking of being honest, you know, because Misha, you also were talking about putting everything into your work. Before Underground, I was like so over slave shit. Like, I was over it. I was like, I can't do it.
I remember.
You know, and
I
was like
slave shit.
It was like after 12 years.
I mean, I was over it too. That's why I made Underground.
Right? You found a way into that subject matter that felt fresh, and it felt entertaining, dare I say, and sexy, and all these things that one would not attribute to a quote-unquote slave show. And you made me love it, despite myself, despite my initial knee-jerk reaction. So I want to know, like, what about you did you bring to that show? Like, what was the Misha-ness that you were like, I don't really care what these people have to say, this is what I'm doing?
I think it's that. I just think that a lot of, in any time you think about anything slavery on both sides, I think with all around, everybody holds it very sacred. And I just didn't. I was like, this is not sacred to me. This is a story. It's the Underground Railroad is clearly a thriller that can be told as a thriller. Obviously, really sexy people who were black at the time still were enslaved. So none of this is a hard reach. You know, it's
Did you get a lot of ads, though? Like, were you think pieced at first? Like, did you feel any of that?
Well, before the show came out, every single interviewer was like, so we're sick of slavery shit. Like, so why should we watch this show?
With the black people?
Yeah, across, like, all the black people were, like, ready to attack. They were like, what are you doing? Why are you talking about, like, slaves as superheroes? And what is this show going to be? They were skeptical for good reason, because look at most of the stuff we have on the subject. It's like, do you really want to spend an hour every week with the type of slavery stuff that existed? No, I don't either. So it was all only skepticism. Across the board.
And did you know that they were going to be wrong? Like, when a bunch of white people discovered that Dear White People was a thing, like, 2 years after the movie came out, and decided to be outraged when the first season hit, I knew that what they were talking about was not the show that I made, and it was just a matter of time until it came out. But I didn't know what exactly would happen. I didn't know what the reaction was going to be. Did you how was that for you? And with Netflix, you know, everything's at once, but you were still airing. People were still discovering that show. All the way through its first season.
People are still discovering that show.
Well, that's true.
I think part of it, too, is that it was on WGN and nobody knew where WGN was. So, like, the audience we had at that point were, like, kind of seeking out the show in the first place. So it had that vibe where it didn't have a mass audience having to watch it at once. So I think that helped. But at that point, I was just so exhausted by the whole press thing, which was new to me, that I was just like, show's on, guys. Like, hope you like it. Like, I couldn't have any feelings because I was just so exhausted at that point.
Wow. You've had some controversial stuff, too. I remember with Stepsisters, which was a movie that you produced, that was written by Chuck Hayward. Shout out to Chuck, who is one of the Dear White People writer staff darlings, where people just sort of, again, similar to Dear White People, on its premise sort of added you on the Twitters and was upset. Again, if you don't know, Stepsisters is a huge Netflix movie, I should say, by the way. Like,
yeah, we did pretty well.
Really, really big audience on Netflix. But about a black girl from a black sorority who teaches white sorors how to step, which is a kind of dance style, a competition dance style that is very particular to the black sororities.
Yeah, so rooted in the black community.
So a lot of people were upset about that. Like, what was your... How did you get through that? You seem to handle it very well, but how did you do that?
Well, I think, and I think, you know, that's a thing. It's a part of me that I didn't realize I would have to exercise about in terms of being in the business, as like public as one becomes, or, you know, as accessible as one is. I just, you know, I kind of look at it like, look, I got to be a bit of a politician, you know? So if somebody hits me, my constituents hit me up and say, hey, we don't like this thing. I say, okay, well, tell me what you don't like about it. That's a fair thought. Or, you know, I hear you. I'll be mindful of that moving forward.
Does it hurt? Does it piss you off?
No.
Mm-mm. Really?
Because at the end of the day, I look at it, especially now, I'm in a relationship with these people.
Mm-hmm.
I can make movies and shows all I want. If they don't show up for it, if I'm not in tune with them, if I'm not talking to them, if I'm not listening to them, then something's going to be off. I don't want this relationship to ever feel one-sided.
So Lena's show is at me. Just, there's no don't. Just do it. What
you can
do you
at
think?
Me all the time. You can at me with whatever you want. I just feel like I want to have a dialogue. And also I think there's an element, especially on Twitter, is like people expect, they're looking for a debate. They want a bit of a fight. They're trying to rile you up. And I'm just like... No, if you can hit me, there are people who hit me. It's so funny because I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to watch this movie. Like, this is some culture appropriation stuff. And I'll hit them and I'll go like, oh, that's fair. All right. Well, if you do watch it, yo, hit me after. And if you message me, I'll hit you back. We can have a conversation. And right? They're so stunned, one, that I've responded. And then two, that they then go like, okay, well, I'm going to go watch it then. Let's see if you tell the truth. They go watch it. They hit me back. We had, and I, of course, I always keep my promise and we'll go back and forth. And we'll talk. And they'll go, you know what? I didn't mind this. So I kind of like that. What was up with this part? And I'll go, yeah. I'll sometimes say, well, that's a question for Chuck because he's the writer.
Wow.
I was like, but other than that, I really dig it. And then half the times they'll follow me. And the next thing you know, they're talking about, oh, I saw your cover on Vanity Fair. That was dope. Because now they feel like,
they're
oh,
being heard.
Yeah. And it's not fake for me. I'm not giving nobody no BS.
It's not. It's not for you. I mean, I got to give it to you because literally.
Me too, because I go, nope.
The back and forth.
Nope.
The back. Part of it on Twitter, though, I don't even know if I'm talking to a real person. I will tell you this. Black folks on Twitter who at me with some stuff, like I was think piece a lot about Rashid's accent in
that.
Season one.
Uh-huh.
And I was happy to talk about it because I was like, I think I did a lot with the first season to further. They're the causes of color people. I think it took some chances.
But it's things you don't even, it
stuff
have
I don't
expected.
Even know.
You were saying you wouldn't have, you don't know that that's going to be a thing that's going to strike a nerve of people.
Exactly.
But to me, I look at it all, because even for me, like, I didn't say anything to you about that. Like, I remember you talked, I was like, if I, because you know me, I always keep it 100, go, oh, this may buck somebody, this
well,
may.
You know, well, also,
I had no
we
idea.
Have a Juilliard-trained actor who is basing it on someone's
but
actual
deal, that blindsided me,
right?
Like, so I, you know what I mean, because I couldn't have, I didn't see or think about that, but that to me is where I'm almost like, huh, okay, that's a thing that bugs people, but then you can actually have the dialogue,
yeah, and I was
have
able,
the conversation.
I was able to hear it from black folks because, again, I'm sure that I can never tell if you're a bot or not, frankly, if you're white and you're mad at me on Twitter. I can't tell sometimes, so I just don't really engage.
The black
but
people are like kind
black
of,
folks, I'm
yeah.
like, yeah, okay.
The handle is specific.
Yeah,
they're like,
yeah.
They got a whole bio up there.
Nisha 5000, that's a real person. And I incorporated the feedback. I was like, you know what? We talked with the person who did the dialects for Black Panther. We dug deep. We figured out what city the dude was from. Like, we got it in. Misha, is that like, because there's a balance between health, self-care and like feedback.
Yeah, I can't respond to everybody, but
I think that's all good. I think sometimes for me, I go, this is such a symptom of we are so starved for stories that are from our perspective that don't take advantage of it. So it's just that same mentality. Like, we've been abused for so long by the storytelling apparatus that we can't step back from those moments.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, I don't engage. There's always that like first gut reaction where I'm like, and I'm like, no, Misha, don't, because this is just a moment they're having. And it's tough when, again, all the stories that we have are going through the same institutional thing of a white male gaze.
And it's you're not sure even when there is a black person behind it.
Yeah.
Like, who crafted this narrative? You're never sure. Mm-hmm. That's really interesting. Okay, so here's the deal. We're going to take a little break.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to brew some tea. We're going to spill some tea. I don't have any more tea metaphors. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to this KCRW podcast. In case you don't know us, KCRW is public radio in Los Angeles, bringing the best of NPR to Southern California. We're also known for our own brand of bold and innovative programming, evocative storytelling, taste-making music, and audio documentaries that are little movies for your ears. You can join our community to support this show and others, or make a one-time donation just to say thank you. Find out more at kcrw.com/join.
Welcome back to Don't At Me with Justin Simeon. Again, this is my podcast voice. I'm here with Lena Waithe, the incomparable, and Misha Green, the incredible. I have a straight up Don't At Me. Are black people doing too much on Twitter? Do we need to calm down a little bit?
No.
But I also think it can go either way, because sometimes I'll see think pieces about a thing in a show that I don't even think it's that deep, and they'll give certain shows or things more credit than they deserve sometimes. And I'm going like, huh, that's interesting. Because again, it's sort of this like the female version of Hotep, which is like, yeah, what they're saying here with this thing and this black female character and her sexuality. I'm going like, is that show saying that? Or are you just reading into that? But then, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think.
Like what? Like what shows?
I'm associated with too many brands to say. So, that's what I really
was
thinking.
That's going to be my new answer to everything. I'm associated with too many brands.
You don't have too many Adidas.
Seriously. It's Nike, but
you
it's
know,
okay.
Dixie Cups.
I got a pin brand out there for myself. I can't.
There's no Adidas on my body. I'm Nike all day. But I'm just saying.
Do I get a residual for
I'll
you
try to help
mentioning
you.
Nike?
Okay, I was just about to say, I want sneakers too.
Yeah. You got the Nikes they sent me. Those
like, I get jealous when I see your things when you open in boxes and stuff where I'm just like, and you show
do
your
the Instagram
fit
openings.
On IG. And I'm just like, I want. That it's, too.
It's my
you know
way
what
of
you
saying
can do,
thank
Misha?
You.
You know what you can do, Misha? You can buy a pair of shoes and like open like, oh my God, Nike.
Did you?
And then someone else will like will do it too. Like, oh, we got to start sending Misha some
that's
shoes.
That's kind of real. Or no, or you just say, I love Nike stuff. Isn't it lit?
Yeah. I love Nike stuff. Isn't it lit?
on this show, but also your social media as well.
That was the most podcaster website.
Like, I love Nike stuff. Isn't this lit? But then there's the other side where, yes, people sometimes get really attacky where we don't want to throw shade to people who are upset about the accent thing or do white people. Look, that's a fair thing. I totally get it. But there's an element where it's like, okay, are we being a little too nitpicky? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I think you have both sides of it where they'll sometimes praise something and then sometimes
I agree. I agree that, like, I think black people have gone through enough. I think it's in the first season of Dear White People. I think we snuck that in where, like, you can't, like, shake a cat up in a box. It's a whole life. And then open the box and be like, why is this cat so mad? Like, we have a lot of reasons to be this upset. However, I do wonder sometimes if the energy is misdirected. Like, for instance, like we talk a lot about cultural appropriation, right?
Right.
It's something you catch. Like, culture takes over people. We can only, as people, we can only have so much control over it. Mm-hmm. So to me, like, cultural appropriation is really about systemic oppression and about the fact that one group succeeds doing the same thing that another group does, which is like a deeper systemic topic. You know, so my question is like, you know, again, I think black people have the right to do and be mad about whatever they want, even if it's my stuff. But I do worry about the energy because we need the energy to do real stuff in society and in life.
It's like, take that anger to the
Trump
voting.
Towers.
Yeah, the vote. When you
know, I do think, though, the thing, which is why I say no, that it's not too much, is because I think anytime you have to think twice about something is not a bad thing.
Mm.
I think a lot of what Twitter, and Twitter is black Twitter. Twitter does not exist outside of black Twitter. is that
done at her.
It's like making people think twice about the shit they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And it's like when you see the casting call, like the Aladdin thing, when they like put a white guy in Aladdin. Mm-hmm. And it's like, where was this in the Disney movie, guys. Right. And they're just like, what? This is a big deal? Like, the amount of times I feel like I've seen in this industry, someone went, I didn't even know that was a big deal. And mm-hmm. you're like, the obvious thing they just pointed out, you mm-hmm. didn't know that was a big deal. So, mm-hmm. yes, it does go to extremes where I go,
But it's par for the course, you're saying.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't disagree with that.
Yeah. There's a way to educate, you know, people or the, you know, like, or for example, like, what was the Pepsi commercial with the...
Oh, sure.
Yeah, with yeah. old girl, you know. And again, that wasn't just black people, but still, it's those things that...
There are people who still, for whatever reason, don't know.
Yeah, but I think it is important for black Twitter and a lot of black people to just to kind of be able to have a place to voice, you know, like, hey, we ain't cool with that. This ain't right. But of course, you know, with great power comes responsibility. And I think sometimes that's the part that may be lacking a little bit, where sometimes they'll go off on a thing about, like, for example, the Insecure condom thing was like a bit much. But then, you know, they kind of nodded at it in the show.
Now, for our casual viewers listening at home, yes. What is the Insecure condom thing?
Okay, so basically, Issa's character has...
On the show Insecure on HBO.
Thank you. Has a quickie with her ex-boyfriend, played by Jay Ellis. Mm-hmm. And I get there's like, technically you don't see a condom pulled out to be used in that scene.
Because they didn't use a condom.
Okay, well, you know, that happens in life.
Right.
You know, sometimes exactly. It goes down.
I don't know what you're talking about. I've never had sex.
I don't know. I don't need condoms for the kind of sex I have. So
wow.
Hopefully nobody, when 20s gets a serious order, we don't get those. But then maybe somebody say, well, you guys are not using dental dams. I don't know. But
wow,
I just kind of feel like...
I'm going to really pray for there not to ever be a why don't y'all use dental dams think piece.
But then the question
you
is, then why? But then
if
you don't say that about
dental
ours...
Dental dams or... Yeah. Okay.
In the PR kit.
If they don't come at us for that, then, you know, I just felt like that one was a little...
It was unfair.
Much.
People were upset because there was no condoms... being like, used or
I don't know. It's just...
So what are we saying? Are we just... Everyone should just be having unprotected... That was the sort of upset.
A very strange thing. That, to me, did feel like one of those situations where it's like, okay, we got a little bit too much time on our hands.
Well, you know, I think it's time, but it's also, like, anger. We have a lot of anger on our hands that doesn't necessarily have an outlet.
And I support safe sex. I'm not anti that. I'm just saying, guys, it's a TV show.
Well, you can
as a gay man,
it, I just...
Well, okay, I get why you don't, but anyway.
You know what? That was a stereotype that I'm a monogamous person in a monogamous relationship. Therefore,
I'm saying you should be even as pro safe sex as I.
Again, I don't have sex. So I do. The point is that this is the part of our show where I want to talk about the things that you don't want to be added about. Okay. Mm. It can be fun. It can be real. It can be trivial, whatever it might be. Mm. I'm just going to let whoever feels the Holy Spirit, begin first. What are your don't ats?
Don't at me about Aziz.
Oh, shit.
Wow.
So that's how we're starting, huh?
I love it. Because when I texted you earlier, I was like, yeah, I'm just going to do something light and non-controversial. don't at you about Aziz. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but I don't even know if that's controversial. That's just like real... Like, you know, I always try to come from a real place.
Mm-hmm.
And I
because
feel
like, you've spoken about it already. And if you don't know, Aziz was caught up in a bit of this Me Too controversy.
But also, like, look, he's a friend of mine, you know, and I don't think of this situation as black or white or sides, so to speak, to be taken. And I think that's not what I just think to me, this is a opportunity. And I did say this in an interview before, but it's an opportunity for us to educate ourselves about what consent is and what it means for men and women, for us to really have a better understanding of it. That's what I think that his particular story, I think, gives us an opportunity to do.
All right. Y'all. Don't at her on it. Okay?
You got to
be
me
mad,
about it.
But at Misha. I don't know.
Right.
Misha, what's your don't at?
Don't at me. Black Panther is not the best Marvel movie ever.
Whoa!
JK, Wakanda Forever. Wow. That was a joke.
Wow! Okay, so I woed over the JK, Wakanda Forever. We were about to have a moment.
I know.
She was real. She's like, no, I got a real one.
I thought I was, you know.
Okay, so you love Black Panther.
I was like, what's going to top? Don't at me about Aziz.
Black people, of course. I know, that's a hard one. You went for it.
I know. I was like, I got nothing. I got to make something up, and then I got to take it back really quick because it's about to get a lot of ets about it.
Oh, no.
You go again. You've got another one.
Don't
at me, but we have got to get to a place where we can talk honestly about art from black people.
Right, that's true.
I think that it's good to promote the success of black art, but the merits of it as art, there's a lot of speaking around and a lot of making excuse. There's a lot of not great black movies or, and frankly, a lot of them by filmmakers that are not black.
Some of them are by black people.
Yeah, some of them are. But I'm just saying, like, in the black space, I feel like...
It's like a lot of them are by black people.
Well, no, I'm saying, like, even if it's about black people, it's not necessarily by black. Like, black people did not necessarily make or create it. But in the space of things about black people, there's a we shouldn't talk about this on its artistic merits, especially if it was successful.
Right.
And I think that's a form of racism, just because...
But I think it's hard for us as creators in the industry to give an opinion about that stuff.
But, feel it in... You feel it in the critics. You feel it in audiences on Twitter. You do feel it. I mean, I think we're all in the industry, so, you know, we walk a bit of a tightrope. We have friends, whatever. Right. We want to support people. And also, we experience things differently. And obviously...
Also, like, know how hard it is to get something made,
and obviously, our art is objective and all of that stuff.
That's
at the end of the day, I do feel like if we, you know, want to, if our stuff is supposed to sit on the same table as everyone else's stuff, you know, if a movie did really well but it wasn't great, like, we need to own both parts of it. Or if I, like, for instance, I'm a huge fan of The Housewives of various cities.
Yeah.
And I'm not, but it's not like this show needs to win a Peabody. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, I get it. I know what I'm watching.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I know. It's
Black
like,
Ink Crew.
It's like, yeah, there we go. It's like driving up at McDonald's. It's like, I get
growing
it.
Up
this
hip-hop.
Is not going to digest in my system. It's not good for me.
Right.
It's oppressing me in so many ways. And yet here I am. Please take the wig off and fight. So I want us to be able to hold two things at once more.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think for me, the thing I don't love is like the guilt trip. You know, that you sometimes get put on. Because there's certain movies and things. And who knows? I could be, you know, I fully understand that there's maybe a world in which with the Vanity Fair thing, there may be a guilt trip of like, oh, you got to go buy Lena's,
but
you know,
you
Vanity
do.
Fair.
Or else you
but
are
I'm just
racist
saying, like,
and homophobic.
See what I'm saying? There's a guilt trip that happens. It happens with movies.
And sexist. Like, you're all of the things if you don't buy this cover of Vanity Fair and no other cover.
There are certain movies that have black people in it that aren't as great as Black Panther, because somebody could say to me, like, oh, I felt like pressure with Black Panther, but Black Panther was really dope. So I feel like I'm pushing that to the side. But there were certain movies that, like, you see the usual suspects, like, posting about it, saying, like, you got to go see it this opening weekend. Like, we need to start paying. Yeah, for these.
Which I agree with, by the way.
I agree with that. But then my thing is,
but there's no discussion afterwards.
But
sometimes.
Also, but then let me put it this way. Did we do that for Moonlight?
Okay. Okay.
Did we do that for Pariah?
Did we do it for Dear White People? Mm. We did it a little bit.
But the question then becomes, and this is like, I mean, but those black people with like millions of followers, were they like posting like, yo, y'all should go see this. Like this week, we should go support this. You know what
there
I'm saying?
There is a difference in the kinds of things that get support by the elite famous people who are also black.
And they're not even that elite of fame. It's just those cats, you know, that
the followers,
we see.
The crews.
Yeah, it's like it's the famous black people with the millions of followers on Instagram. And you see it. You see the poster and they're like, yeah, you should go, like, let's rally y'all.
Right.
And I'm like, but is the movie good?
I was going to say it's so hard, though, because whether the movie's good or not, the people who care about who's going to greenlight the next set of movies cares about how much money it makes. They don't care if it's good or not.
Right.
Like, they don't care. As I say, nobody cares about the content.
Yeah.
In this business, they really don't.
But
there's
then
very
I watched a film last night. It was a reboot. Starred a number of actors. It had something to do with like a jungle themed game. That was a board game previously. Now it's a video game. It doesn't matter what movie it is. But I was watching it, and it got really good. It got good reviews, and it made a lot of money.
I haven't seen this movie, by the way.
And it was like, you know, guys, like, it's a real fun movie. It's great.
Hot mess.
I have issues with the film. particularly its portrayal of African-American man. And I just was like, well, where were the think pieces on this? But we all, but it was given a pass because, like, it was, like, at least watchable compared to some other, like, summer movies. And, you know, like, we all love The Rock. We all love Kevin Hart. Mm-hmm. But I had, there was.
I'm still confused on what movie this is.
You don't know what film. No. Oh God, it like rhymes with
R.I.P. Robert Williams.
But yeah, there were a lot of like, I'm a black man and I got a big ass dick. There were like a lot of those moments that I was like, no one paused and ripped this one, a new one, but where the condoms and insecure. I just like, right. It is interesting to me that some things just get a pass because they're successful and they do well.
Right.
When other things that are maybe marginal or frankly need more support sort of get ripped to shreds for somewhat trivial things, I think. Like, I think the condom thing, I would say it's trivial only because no other show ever does that.
No.
So why are we pinpointing, why are we singling this one out?
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Or like you said, there's been worse than what, you know, with the fake accent. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's been other things.
Yeah, which, by the way, thank you for the note.
It's fair. but that's what I'm saying. It's like there's other stuff to be, you could really point a finger at.
Right.
And I think it's interesting how sometimes the smaller things kind of, you know, the smaller movies that need support don't always get it. I just remember that was a big thing for me. I didn't see that support for Moonlight the way I wished and the truth is it's like I'm looking at black celebrities with a lot of followers and a lot of influence. Like, just post the damn poster on the thing. Just be like
another Essence speech.
Oh, well, maybe.
Post wherever
but
you are.
But also too, it's like but then when he wins Best Picture, everybody's, you know, trying to go sit next to Barry.
Mm. Right.
So because you get the white validation and then all of a sudden, oh, hi.
You know what? Shout out to Barry, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
You know what I'm saying?
But thank God, because
now
that
all those
movie,
black folks that weren't posted about him trying to work be in his next movie.
But thank God, because that movie is so fantastic,
right?
And it in no way should have gotten made, but did, and was wonderful and deserved all of its fame
and
success. All right, guys, we could go all night, but
yeah,
it's literally Saturday night, and I got to go watch Roxanne. So,
yeah.
Yeah, so
Luna, I saw it already. I'm a better black person than
it's
both
true.
Of you.
Well, obviously.
Wow.
Watched it.
Wow. Yeah, did you see at Sundance last year?
I was not at Sundance last year.
Yeah,
but the night it
she was on a private
streamed.
Screening on a
what?
Private jet.
Oh,
that Nike.
The one Bow Wow was on?
Yeah, okay. I think Bow Wow
was your Vanity Fair cover sitting right next to you? Were you going back and forth between
Bow Wow, I believe, was on a bus below the plane, but you were there with shoes everywhere. Eating
shoe
lobster,
off.
I believe.
The shoe off.
What size are you? We might be the same size.
Oh, what size are you?
8.5.
Nah, you got girly feet. 10.5.
Wow.
Okay.
Men's.
Well, I'm a size 13 Nike.
Okay, so your dick is bigger than ours.
Wow. Okay, so we're gonna go.
A black man.
We have to leave.
Yeah, obviously.
Everyone stop talking.
True.
Lena, will you come back and talk to me in between the next Spielberg movie and World Domination?
I'll think about it.
Misha, when Lovecraft is out, we're gonna holler again.
Nah.
Okay, cool. Kay. Well, thank you guys so much. This was really, really fun. And I'm just going to close by saying don't at me, but Shangela should have won.
You can at me about that. Because I agree.
I'm Justin Simeon, host of Don't At Me, and if you must at me, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at jsim07 or Facebook at Justin Simeon, D-I-R. Misha, where can they at you?
You can at me at Misha Green.
Lena?
My Twitter and Instagram and Facebook is all Lena Waith.
Wow.
Yeah.
Again, another hard one to remember.
Sorry.
Blue checks too, I bet.
Oh, you better believe it.
Oh, she got all the blue. She has like a platinum check. It's like a kind of check that only some people get. She's super cool.
You have a check as well, Justin.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for joining me. And to anyone listening, thank you for being open. All right. I want to thank my guests, Lena Waithe and Misha Green, our producers, Gina Delvac and Caitlin Parker, our production engineers, Kat Yore and JC Swadek. Special thanks to Vishnu Velabanini. Gary Scott didn't know about the cookout, but I guess he's invited too. And of course, the fabulous Chris Bowers created our theme song. This is Don't At Me with Justin Simeon. If you like the show or you want to think piece me, I guess you can. Just please subscribe at Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen and leave a review. I'd love to hear from you. We'll be back next week with another episode of Don't At Me from the one and only KCRW.
Hey guys, it's Cheyenne Davis. You may know me from MTV's Teen Mom OG, or Think Loud Crew podcast. I'm here with my dad, Papa Floyd, to tell you about our new podcast, Unfiltered Kitchen.
The kitchen is the hub of the household for many of us. The one-stop shop for conversations, both big and small. Cheyenne and I have been having open conversations about all aspects of life in our kitchen since well before she was able to see over the counter.
And now we're inviting you into our own kitchen as a part of the family.
Unfiltered Kitchen is a two-way street. I share my advice on cocktails, cooking, parenting, and the lessons I've learned.
And I inform my dad what it's like to raise kids today, how generational barriers affect us, and the joys of being a daughter. Well, your daughter.
Get ready for a whole lot of unfiltered advice. You can take it or leave it, but you're never going to leave this table feeling hungry for more.
Listen to Unfiltered Kitchen wherever you get your podcasts.